First of all, how many of you have done SharePoint 2010 development work? Okay, we've got a few hands here on this side. You guys are busy with eating? Okay. So the experience is a lot different, particularly for those who have done development with the previous version of SharePoint. I will show you one example, which is creating WebPod. But before, you had to install the local assembly, you know, going through all the hassles to do that. Today, with the Visual Studio 2010 and also the template, it's just a matter of one click. It pushes out to your local development environment. So there are a lot of enhancements just from the tool perspective, from the IDE perspective. Within SharePoint, you can actually get a peek of into the SharePoint site, what objects, what libraries, what lists available. Another tool which I'll talk about is the designer. So there are several templates available, from empty, you know, project type to workflow to visual web part to, you know, lists to what's the other one? So there's like 10 or 11 projects available. So you can really choose that. We'll look at that through the demo. The project structure basically has been enhanced so that if you need to deploy a web part to SharePoint site, it basically asks you upfront. You can change that during the development process. It'll push out the, you know, compiled bits to that location for you. And I mentioned briefly the SharePoint Designer, which is the predecessor. How many of you heard of the product Front Page? Okay. That's the predecessor of this SharePoint Designer. Now, this become a specialized tool just for SharePoint, more for designers. You know, developers too. Developers can use this one to do some work too. This is a free download, I believe, that you can get it from the internet. So we will show example that you can actually publish your SQL Server database tables to SharePoint site without really having to write a code. But it'll allow you to have read, edit, you know, the CRUD sort of operations. Very nice, using the business connectivity service behind the scenes. One nice feature for developers in SharePoint 2010 is the developer dashboard. You probably use tools, something like a Fiddler or something, you know, some specialized tools, just to, you know, to understand what's going on between your browser, the middle tier, and also the backend database, right? So this developer dashboard allows you to be able to see what's going on between the browser just for that purpose. So you can enable, disable that. It's basically 0-1 option. You can enable that for the entire server farm. But you can't really say I enable this just for this site. So it's really for development purpose. If you don't do this on your production server, because it's gonna definitely slow down the application. Debugging is very much similar to what you do today. Just to make sure you are logged on as an administrator on your dev box, because there is a process you need to attach to the debugger so that you need to have that admin rights. SharePoint 2010 supports PowerShell, which is the new generation of scripting engine from Microsoft. We put this stsadm.exe, that's the tool that you would use to manage your SharePoint sites, from backup to restore to making changes to the SharePoint site. So the new way of managing SharePoint is to use script, the built-in scripts or custom scripts. We don't really have time to get into that, but we probably can have another session just to talk about PowerShell. All right, so let me spend a few minutes. I know developers like to see code, but I think it's probably worth the time just to go over some high-level features of a SharePoint, just so you know what you can do, what SharePoint can do for you, and then specifically what applications you can write. We have this SharePoint Pi, which, you know, talks about six different areas. Websites we're all familiar with, intranet sites, internet sites, extranet sites. Communities, these are more like a wiki, blogging sites, things like that nature. Content. In the past, Microsoft had a product called Content Management Server, CMS, right? Now it's embedded or merged or combined with SharePoint. So you can manage the publication process. So instead of, like, you know, edit, save, and then publish the content, you can schedule that publication at a specified time. And then you can go through the review, you know, process. That's all very desired feature for any enterprise customers. The search is something we are familiar with that, if you know SharePoint. It's built-in search functionality. It's based on SQL Server full text. But if you needed something more advanced, you know, to be able to have ranking, you know, all those kind of features, indications, you can add the fast search, which has seamless integration with SharePoint 2010. Insights is really a fancy name for business intelligence or data warehousing. There was a product called a Performance Point. How many of you heard about a Performance Point? So that is basically a smaller version of, it's the same version, in fact, it just become a function inside SharePoint 2010. So this week I'll talk to a customer about Power Pivot Excel services, which is largely based on that Performance Point. Composites is just a number of services such as Visio services, Excel services, and all that. So there's really a lot to know about SharePoint. I started learning SharePoint with the version 2003, and I feel I'm still learning it. Just, there's just so much to know from a planning perspective, from infrastructure perspective, from development perspective, right? Security and all that. So there's just so much to know. But you can start with SharePoint 2010 pretty quickly. And I'll talk about from a dev side, how you set up the environment. Let's look at the application landscape. What kind of applications you can write? Let me just render the page. There is, at the middle, it's a SharePoint called .NET, ASP.NET. SharePoint itself is based on .NET, right? And it is an ASP.NET application. It is not ASP.NET MVC yet, for now. And it is, even though you've heard of Microsoft SharePoint Online Services, it is not based on Azure yet. It's basically the traditional ASP.NET with some Windows services on the server side, you know, indexing, search services and capabilities. But from user perspective, it's a .NET application. It's ASP.NET web application. So on the on top, it's business collaboration applications. One example is the workflow, right? That you can work on a task with multiple users. Or you could have a Word document that you will basically co-author, or you can revise that. So that's something SharePoint supports. On the right side, it's a single web pod. Web pod is like a unique component. It could be self-sufficient. So I'll show you the most basic web pod, just to display the date information, for example. And you can basically write that component and deploy that to SharePoint, and it becomes functional. Or you can do more than that. You can actually, you know, communicate with the objects within SharePoint and the data sources outside of SharePoint, okay? There are custom components, web pods you can write. There are third-party SharePoint web pods you can purchase too. I worked with a law firm which decided to basically pretty much move all the backend user interface, the other systems, particularly the data in the backend, to SharePoint, using a lot of custom and third-party web pods. So you're basically able to see, for example, the cases you're working on, the cases you have built as a principal, you know, partner. And so you can see all the information through SharePoint, which is sort of the one-stop-shop experience, instead of having to click, you know, multiple links. On the left side of my screen is the portal line of business application. So you can write a Silverlight application which communicates with your SQL Server or other data sources using web services, using WCF services, and you can deploy that to SharePoint. At the bottom is called the SharePoint Server Workloads. These are the traditional websites, whether it's a wiki, you know, site, whether it's a vanilla SharePoint site, document management site, records management site, you can do all that. We can spend all the time just talk about those, but I want to just, you know, show you some examples as developer what you can do with that. What you see on the screen is a screenshot of a newly deployed website. It's a publicly facing SharePoint site, ustreasury.gov. Greg actually is enterprise architect for this working at Treasury Department, and you are directly involved in the project too. So he will not talk a lot about this side, but he definitely is going to share the experience he gained through working with SharePoint in 2010. All right, so now let's look at the development stack of SharePoint in 2010. This is a slide diagram I took from the SDK. It's kind of a busy slide. It's very hard to see probably, but let me just walk through this one now quickly. At the bottom is a Windows Server 2008, 64-bit. For the first time, Microsoft introduces Windows Server 2008 R2, which basically is 64-bit only. Now, today, if you have Windows 7 operating system, you know you have two versions, right? The 32-bit and the 64-bit. The 64-bit version basically is the same code base as Windows Server 2008, which I think makes sense. So on top, obviously, you have SQL Server 2008, the web server, or application server, IIS Server 7, ASP.NET, .NET 3.5, and then there's some components such as workflow and ADO.NET services. The Windows Identity Foundation, how many of you heard about the WIF? Okay, this is a new component. Basically, it allows you to manage the identity, particularly if you want to have the custom authentication and all that beyond the Active Directory. So this is really good component to have. So move up a little bit. That's the SharePoint Foundation 2010. This is used to be called a WSS, Windows SharePoint Services. So the new name, new version in 2010 is called Windows SharePoint Foundation 2010. So this one, typically we say it's a free, you know, download, a free add-on, if you have Windows Server, if you have a SQL Server. But you can also install SharePoint Foundation on your Windows 7. There is a white paper that provides step-by-step instructions on how to install SharePoint Foundation or the full version SharePoint Server on Windows 7. So take a look at it. I think it requires 64-bit. I went through that once. If you follow precisely, do not skip a small step, you'll be okay. So you can try it on your virtual machine if you want to. So let's look at some of the blocks here. There's definitely web parts. There is object model you can use. In fact, that's the foundation for you to write custom features for SharePoint. On the right side, there's a mobile device. In the SharePoint community, it's called a /m, right? If you want to display the SharePoint page to the mobile device, it's the same URL, /m. And you can also write custom application for the mobile device. On the left side, there is a Business Connectivity Services, BCS. This used to be called a Business Catalog. Basically, the idea is to be able to let users to use web services and then pull the data through web services to SharePoint without having to write complex code. In fact, without writing code at all. This has been further enhanced, so you can create custom types, .NET based, or you can use the SQL Server BCS type to retrieve data from any data sources, from SQL Server data sources to SharePoint, which I will go through that demo. So you can deploy sandbox solutions, which is really a nice feature for this 2010. Currently, if you write a SharePoint, you know, custom solution, basically you have to make sure that it's securely done and there's no weakness exposed. With the sandbox solutions, it's pretty much confined to the solution. So if you deploy that sandbox solution to a collection, to a site, it only functions within that site. So as an administrator, you don't have to worry, oh, this component, this web part may be calling an external web services, and that could be a potential concern. So there's just definitely a lot of workflow support. So I don't really have time to go through all of these. So move up a little bit, which is the licensed version of SharePoint Server 2010. There's a few components I want to point out. I think we touched on the content management a little bit, search. So that's the standard version. You know, I'm not a licensing specialist, so But at least, you know, if you say, I want to search, if you have standard, you get that. But if you need, for example, fast search, you will need the enterprise edition, because that's only offered through the license. So look into the detail. So most of you probably don't have to worry about that. Chances are that you've already got the license for SharePoint Server. But on the top, I want to point out a few things. One is the dashboard I mentioned. The other is the Excel services. So if you need the BI capabilities, then you will need the enterprise version. Okay? So that's kind of things you want to look at that. Any questions before I move on? This chart basically has a lot. You can write books, articles on that, just for that. But I thought it's a nice chart to have a diagram to look at that, how SharePoint different components are put together. I want to just briefly talk about the structure before we get into some coding. The nice thing is that the hierarchy, the object model, is very much resembles the file structure. You know, you have folders, subfolders, sub-subfolders, or directories, sub-directories, etc., plus files within a directory. It's very much like that. But on the top is a form. In SharePoint term, the form really means the easy way to remember that. Obviously, it means could be mean one server, small form, or could be multiple machines. But from a development perspective, the form really means when you install SharePoint, it actually puts the code on the web server. Whereas a lot of other things are basically stored in the database, the content of databases, whether it's content or whether it's structure. So on the top, you have the web application. There are two words that could be very confusing to you if you're new to SharePoint. There's web, there's site. So you'll see which one is called a web, which one is called a site. I don't have any magic way of helping you, but except the web application is the top level. And then below that, it's a site collection. So web is bigger than site in a sense. Then you have site. Below that, you have list. So everything is pretty much like a list. The document library is a special list, if you will. And then within document library, you have files and folders. Okay. So it's not difficult, but as a developer, I think you would appreciate to know that. It's easy to start writing some code, but you feel like I don't really know what's going on. We don't have time to cover much about workflow, but I just want to point out, when you write a workflow, there is a process that's been defined for SharePoint, which is very much consistent to what you do today, whatever tools you use. From the Microsoft technology stack, here you have Visual Studio, almighty, you know, tool. You can do anything you want. In between, you have the SharePoint Designer. Then you have the Visio. Here's the logic behind it. If I'm a CXO, even though I may be able to write, I was able to write code, but I probably don't have time. But I'll probably be able to, if I want to, use Visio just to have the high-level diagram. The business analyst may actually spend a little more time to look and see, for example, any budget amount that exceeds $1,000 should go through the manager's approval, right? At this level, I said, you know, budget should be subject to approval depending on the amount. Here you can specify $1,000. The developer, most of you are here today, you can actually write the code to make sure that whether it's a sequential workflow, whether it's state machine, that you will basically make sure the code basically will check the amount. If it exceeds $1,000, go through this branch. If it's below this one, automatically approved. In between these two, you can really sort of switch back and forth. And then you can export a workflow to Visual Studio. But you can't really, once you import it to Visual Studio, you can't really import it back, because you're going to have code attached to that. But chances are you'll be able to figure that out. If you do have to manage something, and you may be able to, you know, carve out the changes, the delta, and push that to the Visual Studio project. This one I'm not going to spend too much time. We'll probably designate another session to talk about the business connectivity service. But one thing I want to point out is the new support, which is actually very nice for developers. But before SharePoint, either you can really load the application to SharePoint server, or you would have to use web services to communicate with SharePoint, right? Because you have to honor the security framework within SharePoint. The one potential problem is that, for example, search, you may want to customize the search results. And you call the search web services in your another web application. And because the search results potentially could be very large, therefore, there could be performance issue, right? Now, with the new features called the client on the left side, that actually allows you to write client application using the SharePoint object model to communicate with the SharePoint. And it actually caches the data locally where the application resides. Behind the scenes, it's compact SQL Server database, which you don't have to manage. SharePoint manages that for you once you install the bits. So you'll basically be able to talk to the external data source. If you look at this diagram, without having to go through SharePoint once you set up right. One example which I'll show you in a few minutes is that I published the SQL Server data to SharePoint. Then I exported the information to Outlook, which is a client. So then I actually can open the Outlook content, custom content contacts, and I can make changes, which actually can directly send the information back to the database, even though the SharePoint is running or maybe is not running, because the client support, the client object model. So that's the new feature. So if you have a Windows application, you will basically be able to communicate with the SharePoint. So you would really appreciate that. Here's a list of resources available. There's a lot of information, but I would recommend you go start with the Developer Center at MSDN. And there are quite a few videos. I actually went through the videos myself. I found them very useful. One of them is the SharePoint, the Get Started Developing on SharePoint 2010. There are about 12 something videos. It talks about how you write a web part, step by step. If you're learning by doing it, it's actually really good, very effective. The other link provides the advanced video training on SharePoint. So you will be able to find it. I'll make sure that we'll publish the slides. I promise that I'll publish it because for the previous events, I think we said we're going to publish it. We probably haven't done all that, but we'll make them available. So if you need something tonight, I can even give you a copy once I'm done. I'm going to actually switch the demo, but before I do that, any questions that I can address? Did I go too fast? Are you guys bored with the slides and you say, show me the code?
Hey, Z, good afternoon.
Okay.
For debugging, do you still have to have a SharePoint server in order to do debugging?
Yes. If you are pushing the bits to a SharePoint server, in fact, I'll show you this with my demo. You do need to have the SharePoint server, whether it's on your dev machine or whether it's remote. So you basically need to have the server running. Now, the difference is if you're running SharePoint on Windows 7, it's all on that one machine. But behind the scenes, yes, there is a SharePoint server running.
Would you be talking about SharePoint Online for the cloud version of the SharePoint?
I only mentioned briefly, I said that the current version of SharePoint 2010, there is a cloud version, which basically Microsoft installs SharePoint in the well-managed environment. It is the same bits running on the Windows server. Now we offer that to customers. So instead of having to set up the environment yourself, you can just purchase that plan. So you say, all I need is a SharePoint server, SharePoint site. So that's the SharePoint online services. But it is not a really... Behind the scenes, it's still the same code base. It's not using Windows Azure at this point. But Microsoft, you heard of Steve Ballmer's speech problem in many cases. And Microsoft has this all-in strategy in terms of moving the technology to the cloud environment. The first example I want to show you very briefly is the developer dashboard. You can use PowerScript to enable or disable that feature. Or you can write a few lines of code to do that. So let me open up I'm running, by the way, a Windows server on my laptop, and I'm running the Hyper-V virtual environment. So I'm running two servers on the host. One of them is the SharePoint server. Another one, behind the scenes, it's running Exchange server, just so if I need a demo email, all that, I can use that. But for today's talk, all I need to focus is the SharePoint server. This is a vanilla looking for your SharePoint site, internet site. So you will see that there is a little icon here. I've already enabled the developer dashboard. For those of you sitting on the other side, up right corner, you see that little green, white block, two boxes over there. That's indication that you've got the developer dashboard enabled. You have two modes. One is called on, another one is called on-demand. On-demand means, let me show you that. Right now, it's just a regular page. But if I click it here, I'm actually enabling the feature. I will see some developer relevant information. You see the milliseconds for those requests, right? It's probably hard for you to see the line by line, but it tells you add what part, share documents, site accesses. So there's some information. Now, one benefit is that you'll basically be able to tell where the potential bottleneck is for your application, whether it's web part or line of business application. And you can click it again. That will basically toggle back to the regular mode. So the code it takes to write this one is just a few lines of code. You write a console application, and then you'll basically use, remember, the top-level web services, SharePoint web services service, and then you will set the dashboard settings to on-demand, or if I want to disable that, I'll just change that to off. So if I run this application, it's a console application, it'll disable that feature. So once I refresh the SharePoint screen, that icon will be gone. Let me make sure that it takes a few seconds. Yeah, this is done. So so now if I just go to here, refresh the screen, you notice that little icon is gone, right? Okay. So the code is available on the internet. If you can find it, I'll be happy to send it to you. I actually took this from the labs, hands-on labs. I think this is one of the first labs. Okay. So let me close that. All right. So let me show you one demo quickly about how you write a web part and deploy a web part to a specified SharePoint location. And let's look at that, what the process takes. I'll close this one. This is the one I just finished. So I will basically fire up Visual Studio 2010. And you can choose a C# version, VB version. That's your based on your preference. So I'll create a new project. And I've got SharePoint, everything configured properly. So you will see the SharePoint in 2010, SharePoint in 2007. 2007 has only two project templates. 2010 has empty project, visual web part, workflow sequential state machine, custom business data catalog model, event receiver, list definition, content type module, site definition, and then import workflows. So for our exercise, for this demo, we're just going to use create a visual web part. I always use demo 2 or 3. I just use 2, see. Oops. It's already there. So let me just do 3. OK. Now, there's just a quick step you need to go through with the wizard. It tells you, it's asking you where you want to deploy the web part. I'm running everything on my local machine, so I'm just going to specify the intranet.contoso.com. Notice the other option is dimmed, because for visual web part, it has to be deployed as a web form solution. Now, you can write web part as a sandbox solution, too. Right now, I just say, OK, deploy this web part to intranet.contoso.com. If you, during development, if you need to point it to a different location, you certainly can. I'll point that out to you. So as you created the project, SharePoint, the Visual Studio IDE adds a few files for you, such as the features folder and the packages. We don't have to use these two features for writing a simple web part. But if you create a custom workflows, for example, if you create a custom activities, you will use the features and the packages. So for now, we keep it simple. Just look at that, visual web part. And those of you who have done development with ASP.NET, we have a custom user control. It ends with .ASCX, right? That's indication of a user control. So we can actually open this up, which I think is right here. So it's basically empty. It's just a placeholder, right? So let's say we want to add a button, add a label. So if I click the button, it will basically show me the current timestamp. Just to keep it simple, so we'll see how we'll push out this, deploy this web part once it's down to SharePoint site. So I'll basically find the toolbox, drag drop a button to top, and then another one I want to add a text box. If you want to make it look a little nicer, you can move that down here. And then I can just write some code here. This is just simple, you know, same programming code that you would for any ASP.NET application. So it will be my text box 1.text is equal to date time dot now dot to string. So I basically want to get the current time in the stream format. And I save the value to the text box. So let's see. Let's say I want to debug that. I just put a breakpoint right here. And then I can, let me just make sure that I have no sites open. It's OK if you have any site open. Then I go to start debugging. So it'll basically open the browser and open the default location for you. And then we can actually add the a web part to that web page. For those of you who are paying attention, at the lower left corner, you will see that behind the scenes it's running a script. Compile the code, deploy that to SharePoint according to the location specified. Let me switch to that. The location, if you're curious, you can find out it's right here. It's a property of that project. And you can change that location if you would like. Okay, it will take a few seconds to load the web page because behind the scenes there's a few services running because I'm running everything on this machine, the virtual machine. So there's the analysis services, the Power Pivot service running. So it's pretty expensive for me to do a demo like that. For you, as you do development, you want to disable these services you don't need because that way it will be much faster to load the web page. In fact, we have a demo script that will basically you run that beforehand to disable those services because otherwise it will take a few seconds just to warm up these services. So here on this website, let's say I want to add this web part to this web page. So I just go to here. There's an edit page, or I can go to site actions. Now, one thing about SharePoint, you will notice that it offers a lot of options. Sometimes you feel like you get a little lost. So the only thing that can help you is spend a little more time on that. The user interface has been tremendously improved. But even with that, you still feel like, where do I go? How do I increase the file size when you upload files? You know, whether it's on a web page here or it's the central admin. So there's just a lot of things, a lot of places you want to become familiar with. So let's say I want to move to deploy the web page right below this introduction page. And I'll go to the insert. Right now, the web part has been compiled, has been deployed to the SharePoint site that I specified when I created the Visual Studio project. So I'm ready to add this web part, even though I don't even know what happened, right? It's like once I say, start debug, nothing really happened in a sense, right? But behind the scenes, it's really pushing out the bits to the SharePoint site already for you. So I choose modify or modify the page and then insert a web part. There are a lot of web parts, built-in web parts available. And then if you go to the custom category, You should see one. I didn't rename it. It's Visual Web Part 1. So if everything is working properly, when you hit add, it will basically drag drop the web part to this page. And then you can save the page. Okay, so we have to save it, because right now it's still in the edit mode. So now we are ready to debug, in fact. Now if you click the button, it will tell Visual Studio, hey, we are in the debugging mode. You see it goes back to your IDE, right? So if you're curious about it, you know, you can hit F5, or if you can hit F10, this one actually shows you the values of this text box. Okay? So if I finish it up, now it populates the field for you. That's basically all it takes to write the most complicated, you know, visual web part. Okay? So do you feel you can do it yourself with just 5 minutes? That's actually true, but obviously a web part typically takes more than that. There's going to be more functionality and all that. So in the interest of time, let me just show you a couple of web parts written in Silverlight that is, gives a little bit more functionality. With Silverlight, even though SharePoint 2010, the support for visual for web SharePoint web parts is based on the Silverlight 3.0. You can write Silverlight 4.0 web, you know, Silverlight application and push it to SharePoint. That's not a problem. It's just the framework itself, the host. For Silverlight is based on 3.0. So once the page is loaded, we will show you the same sort of functionality but written in Silverlight. Now with Silverlight, how many of you have done Silverlight development? Okay. So Silverlight is basically a browser plugin, right, from Microsoft. You can just write a Silverlight application as you do now. There are two options you can write a Silverlight application from a deployment perspective. You can just write your Silverlight application, test it, make sure everything's okay. If it talk to, you know, external services data, you know, just make sure that the web part will basically have access once you deploy that to SharePoint site. That's probably easiest way. The other option is that you can create an empty SharePoint project and then add a Silverlight web project to that solution. And then the advantage is that it will basically push out the zip file for you to the specified location. And I found that the first option just works for me. Eventually, I'll basically, you know, copy the zip file to the server. And I'll show you that. So first, let's look at the Silverlight application. I'll point out the location for you. See, if I right-click, it's a Silverlight. So that's exactly the same functionality written in Silverlight. And this one is a little bit more sort of advanced Silverlight web part that shows you the chart. Use the Silverlight chart control. Below that, it's displaying a SharePoint list, the project list in the data grid. Okay. I don't really have time to show that, but hopefully next time when we talk about creating SharePoint web parts, we'll drill down a little bit deeper. Any questions about SharePoint web part? Now, I didn't really show you how you write a line business application, right? That Silverlight web part kind of shows you that you can display data. That's basically the same, you know, coding you would, you know, to write any .NET application. I want to spend the next few minutes just to show you how you can create a, you can really populate the data from a SQL server and publish the data to SharePoint site. And then eventually you save the data back to Outlook, okay? Using the BCS, Business Connectivity Service. The tool I'm going to use is called the SharePoint Designer. So I can open a site I'm going to use the same site, intranet.contoso.com. It takes a few seconds to load. You're going to see some similar structure that I didn't show you within Visual Studio. For example, you will see the structure of the site, the lists of libraries within this site, the custom workflows or the built-in workflows available to the site, site pages and all that. But of interest for this demo is something called external content type. This is really very abstract name. It probably doesn't mean anything to you. But basically what it is that it's a collection of metadata based on your selection. You can create a custom content type, or you can use those built-in content types such as .NET content type, SQL Server content type, WCF content type. Use these content types to communicate with external data sources. And for the demo, we're going to use SQL Server content type. So I select the external content types, create a new one. So first you can name it. I call it, demo. Do I have three? Okay. Just say three, see if we use five. Just any name that makes sense to you. And then because the table I'm going to work with is the customer table, so that basically resembles the shell, the Outlook contact. So you choose the office item type contact. And then external system, this is where you're going to specify the location of the SQL Server database and the credentials. So I've done some of these connections already, so I'm going to start from by creating a new one, add a type, add a connection. You see, the first thing it's going to ask me is the external data source type selection, right? The pull-down list shows you three. I kind of mentioned that. The first one is a .NET type. The second one is SQL Server. The third one is WCF. So for this demo, I'm going to choose a SQL Server. And this server is called a Demo 2010A, because I have a machine A, machine B. And the database is called a Northwind. And the optional name, it just gives it a user-friendly name if you want to call it. So I can call it a Northwind Demo Data 5. And you can choose the default user credential, which I'll use because I'm logged in as an administrator. But in some cases, you can actually save the user credentials on SharePoint server. And then later on, you write a code to retrieve the credentials for you. Those of you who are single sign expert, you would know SharePoint is not a single sign-on solution, but it basically supports single sign-on, meaning that you can actually put the credentials into SharePoint data store, and then you can write an application, custom application component to work with the credentials stored in SharePoint. So those are the two options basically below that that basically gives you that capability. So I'll choose OK. So it'll basically talk to the SQL Server, and then if the connection is right, you will basically be able to see the tables of that specified database, the Northwind in this case. So I select the customers, and I right-click. I'll say I want to create all the operations, mean read, edit, delete, and update. And then the wizard just comes up, and I'll basically walk through the process by mapping the SQL Server SQL Server fields, table fields, to the Office Outlook content fields. Okay, some of them it's 1-to-1, others different names, so you have to do that manually. So the custom ID is just an ID. Company name I can map to business name. Company name here. Contact name I can map to full name here, and then I can say this will show in the picker so that you will see the customer name. And to save time, I'm just going to map one more field called a telephone. I'll map this one to business telephone number. The field option allows you to specify how many records you want to retrieve at one time. if your database has a million records, you definitely don't want to retrieve all 1 million records because it's going to take a long time. So I'll add a filter to limit the number of records to 50, for example, so that it'll be much speedy. And I think I can finish that. Now, the next step is not very intuitive because it doesn't ask you what to do. You basically need to save it. As soon as you save it, it actually publishes the custom content type to SharePoint. So that type becomes available. That collection of metadata becomes available so you can use. Okay. So now let's switch to the SharePoint site. The process it takes is just to go to, let's say you want to create a new list. That's based on the content type we just created. And then you can click on Create, and I'll choose the custom list. I can select the list to filter the options available, external list, and I'll say Create. And I'll just say demo data 5 to be consistent. And then I'll choose a type. You will see a few types available. And it definitely should be one that we just did, right? Northwind demo data 5. So far, you still feel like what's going on, you know? But you will see that when it's almost like the metadata, the communication protocol between your data, between your presentation. So once everything is done properly, you say create. It will basically generate the list of the customer table with all the fields available. You notice that? So you, this is your customer table. And then now you can actually sort them out if you want to. You can click on that. You can edit. You can delete. And or you can create a new one. So basically, you've just finished one simple application. So that takes about 5 minutes, literally. If I didn't have to talk, I probably can do it within 2 minutes. This is nice, actually. The whole benefit is that it empowers non-developers, all developers, to be able to quickly write some application to serve business needs. Now, typically, the application is probably more complicated than just a list of the items, but this is really a good starting point. One last thing I want to show you is the you can publish this to the to Outlook. Where's my ribbon? Then you can dump this whole list to Outlook. What's that?
Hit the list tab in the ribbon.
So you can say connect it to Outlook. By doing so, you are basically downloading the data to your Outlook. And it basically goes through the deployment process. It asks you a few questions. But if you confirm, it will basically save a copy of the customer table to your Outlook contacts. That becomes a custom contacts list. And you are able to not only view that, but also you can modify that. Now, as I said, even though here you are basically getting a list from the SharePoint site, right? In case if the SharePoint site is not available, you still be able to communicate directly to the backend SQL table. That's what I was talking about, the support of the client object. This takes a few seconds. This is just a warning sign, just to make sure it's safe. I know this is safe. So now if I open Outlook, it will give you an option to a link to that list. Yeah, right now I have all the permissions, but yeah, if for your application, definitely there's a permission. You know, in that's very good question. So you may not be able to use a current user because the current user may not be the right account. You may want to use a service account, for example. So if I click a contacts, me just wait a few seconds. It should show me the the SharePoint list. Let me just look at that. There should be a link here. It's not this. There is a link that shows a SharePoint list. So for some reason it's not shown here, but it should really be here. I'll wait for a few seconds if it updates that. Any questions while we make sure that it's shown up? Maybe some synchronized issues. Any questions about WebPod and also the custom, the business connectivity service?
Join the multiple tables to one content type in SharePoint Designer.
Repeat the question.
Okay, the question is, can you get data from multiple tables?
Right, into one content type, you just data in SharePoint.
Right. The I haven't tried that. I think you can create a view that it'll probably read only. I haven't tried that. It's possible.